Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind. Graphic Audio presents Rogue Angel by Alex Archer. Rogue Angel number 35, Fury's Goddess. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Richard Rowan, Daniel Sontag, Bradley Smith, Terrence Aselford, Kimberly Gilbert, Thomas Keegan, Ken Jackson, and Nathaniel Perry.
On a flight to her next assignment as a host for the cable series Chasing History's Monsters, Anya Creed looked at the remains of her in-flight meal on the tray in front of her and decided that she no longer had an appetite for the limp turkey and Swiss cheese sandwich on stale wheat bread. The big man seated next to her was a brand new rookie cameraman, Frank DeSalvo. Fresh off his stint as an intern at another cable channel, he was recruited for this assignment. Her show's producers claimed they had snapped Frank up for his keen eye. Anya suspected it was because he wasn't established enough to command a higher salary. He was likable enough, even if he still had the arrogance of a young 20-something. With a mop of black hair and wide brown eyes, his splotchy beard made him look a few years older than he was. No doubt, that was the point. Having given up on her meal, Anya perused the latest police reports on her iPad. Now, as she flew from New York City to India, she was looking at some rather grisly pictures. Mutilated bodies, some of them partially eaten.
Maybe it's a tiger.
Don't tigers tend to eat everything? Some of those bodies look, well, sort of picked at.
Not necessarily. Though I'm not an expert on man-eating tigers. They may not have been hungry enough to devour the entire body. Or perhaps they were simply defending their territory. Whatever the case, the locals are terrified, and the police haven't been able to track or trap the offender.
Which means great television.
It means more people might lose their lives.
Well, sure. But at least it's nobody we know, right? That makes it easier.
Anya pulled up a particularly gory picture and thrust the iPad at Frank.
You think it's any easier for this person's family?
I guess not.
Try to remember that the stories we cover are about people, not objects. We can't disconnect from them. There's too much of that going on in the world as it is. Capiche?
You're the boss?
Yes, I am.
Hello, stewardess. Be right back.
While Frank flirted with the flight attendant, Anya went back to reading. There had been three deaths so far, two men and a woman. All residents of a new luxury complex on the outskirts of Hyderabad, India's sixth most populous city. After several minutes of internet research, Anya started forming a mental picture of the place and found herself getting more excited all the time. Hyderabad itself was only about 500 years old, but recent archaeological excavations had uncovered settlements dating back to the Iron Age, around 500 BC.
I would have enjoyed being on those digs.
Hyderabad's seasons included a hot summer, a very moist monsoon season, and a mild winter with temperatures averaging in the 60s. Anya was relieved they were going to be in the city during the winter. Neither extreme heat nor monsoons held any particular appeal to her. With 3.6 million people living in and around the city, Hyderabad certainly had plenty of potential victims for a rogue tiger to choose from. The trouble with the tiger theory was that locals reported hearing a mysterious creature that sounded like something between a cat and a wolf. The combination had certainly piqued the interest of Chasing History's Monsters, and naturally, Anya was dispatched to uncover the truth.
But in a city as cosmopolitan as Hyderabad, is there any place such a creature could hide? Or maybe it's a psychopath covering his tracks by making his victims appear to have been attacked by a wild animal?
Anya continued reading. Hyderabad's primary industries were split among real estate, pharmaceuticals, information technology, tourism, and filmmaking. She found that last part intriguing.
Anya.
What?
I think I'm in love.
Again?
Yeah, but this is the one, I'm telling you. Don't wait up, okay?
Sure thing, Casanova.
Anya watched Frank amble off down the main aisle toward the lavatories.
There's somebody for everyone.
Delving back into her iPad, Anya learned that Hyderabad's film community had the largest IMAX theater in Asia and a host of cutting-edge technology. The sort of technology that could distort images and make people think they were seeing something when, in fact, they were not.
Interesting.
She went back to the police reports. According to the cops, the first case had come in sometime around 10 o'clock, only a few weeks ago. Sanjit Gupta had been taking a walk around the residential complex and had not come home. A phone call from his distraught wife brought the police running, even though only a few hours had passed since the husband was last seen. They conducted a search and came across Gupta's body lying face down near a culvert. His arm and part of his upper torso had been torn away, resulting in massive blood loss. Part of his face had been gnawed off, too. Anya glanced back at her quick facts on the residential complex. It catered to the extremely wealthy, to include the top tier of Hyderabad's social elite. No wonder the police responded so quickly, she thought. The public address system came on. The flight attendants started talking in what Anya thought was Hindi, but then went on to repeat her announcement in several other dialects. Anya was reminded of the fact that while Urdu and Hindi might be the popular languages of India, regional dialects ranged extensively. At last, the attendants switched to English.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has advised that we are starting our descent into Hyderabad. At this time, we ask you to please shut off all electronic devices, put your trays into their upright position, and remain in your seats with the seat belts on at all times.
Almost on cue, the plane started to bank. Anya gripped the armrests at the suddenness of the movement as they dipped lower.
Where is Frank?
Anya found out a moment later when the door to the bathroom opened and Frank stumbled out, a wet stain across the front of his pants.
Lovely.
He clambered down the aisle and slumped back into his seat.
So, was it everything you hoped it would be?
They don't make airplane bathrooms all that large, do they?
No, they do not.
Stupid cable channels always make it look better than it is in real life.
They're in the business of selling fantasy.
She never showed anyway.
Anya looked at the wet spot on his pants.
Everything else go okay in there?
No, skip it.
Frank grabbed a copy of the in-flight magazine and started fanning himself.
So, you really think this thing isn't a tiger?
I don't know. That's what we're here to find out.
Cool. Where to first?
The hotel. I want a shower after flying for so many hours. After a change of clothes and a quick meal, we'll head downtown and talk to the police.
Below them sprawled the city of Hyderabad, gleaming office buildings and brilliantly painted temples. Anya leaned back away from the window and nodded thoughtfully.
If the police haven't gotten anywhere with the case, then we'll try to find this creature ourselves. And that means going into harm's way. Customs line is over this way.
After waiting their turn, Anya and Frank approached the customs official, and Anya presented her passport and visa. He was a stern-looking older man with a bushy beard and eyes as sharp as a hawk's. He scanned Anya quickly before eyeballing Frank with unmasked contempt. The official quickly cleared Anya and then frowned at Frank.
Your papers, please.
Frank handed them over, but unlike with Anya, the customs official didn't hand them back. He glanced over his counter and scoped the wet stain on Frank's pants.
What brings you to India?
Huh? We hit some turbulence on the plane and I unfortunately got a bit wet.
So it would appear.
He's with me.
Yes. And why are you coming to India?
We're members of an American television show here to do some research on a spate of recent crimes in Hyderabad.
What crimes are you referring to?
The attacks on residents and the new development on the outskirts of the city.
Is that so? And what does this man do for your television show? Urinate in his pants?
Look, the plane banked and I was in the bathroom.
I think that perhaps we should talk in another area of the airport.
That will not be necessary.
Anya turned and found herself staring into the dark brown eyes of a man in a well-tailored three-piece suit. He smiled at her, and then his eyes flashed back to the customs officer.
Of course, sir. I just need to see your paperwork.
Without giving the customs officer much in the way of eye contact, the newly arrived man held a sheaf of papers out to him and left them on his counter.
I will take responsibility for these travelers.
Yes, of course, sir.
Please, follow me.
Anya and Frank followed him out of the bustling airport to an idling Mercedes at the curbside. Anya stopped him as they approached the car.
What about our bags?
We took the liberty of collecting them. They're in the boot. Please, if you would...
Who are you? No offense intended, but I don't usually get into cars with people I don't know. Especially in foreign countries.
My name is Inspector Ajay Pradesh. I'm with the Hyderabad City Police Special Investigations Unit.
Good enough for me.
Let's try not to get into too much trouble before we know what's going on here, all right? Would you mind letting me see your badge?
Of course not.
Pradesh tossed Anya his ID. There was a laminated photo of him overlaid with a hologram.
How did you know we were coming into town?
Your boss in New York called us. Apparently he was concerned that you might have some trouble when you landed.
Why would he think that?
Perhaps this is not the first time you have made a scene in public?
That Christmas party last year wasn't my fault, seriously.
I'm tempted to put you on the next plane back to New York.
Please don't do that, Anya. This is a big assignment for me. If it goes right, it could be a stepping stone to better assignments. You know I can work a camera like no one's business.
There's a flight bound for the States in another hour, if that's really what you want to do.
Well...
Frank fairly dived into the back seat of the Mercedes. Anya allowed herself the briefest smile.
Well, that seems settled. Would you like to sit up front? It makes you look like less of a criminal.
All right.
Anya slid into the car and waited for Pradesh to get behind the steering wheel. He adjusted his seatbelt and then guided them out into the traffic slipstream. He was handsome and refined. She found it hard to think of him as a policeman, but she couldn't deny that his authoritative presence had certainly healed the customs officer. He just didn't have the cop vibe.
Thanks for stepping in back there at the airport.
The man was doing his job, of course, but unfortunately many airport officials tend to live out their power-hungry fantasies at the expense of naive travelers.
Your timing was impeccable.
Actually, I was watching for a few minutes before I intervened.
Why?
I wanted to see what the two of you were like. How you handled the challenge and what you might do. I'm something of an observer of people, you see. I like knowing who I'm about to get involved with.
Get involved with?
I've been assigned to help you.
I don't think we need any help.
I promise I won't interfere with your investigation. There are a lot of jurisdictions involved in this case right now.
I get the feeling this isn't a request.
I have people I answer to as well. Orders are orders, as they say.
I'm not exactly thrilled with this.
Look at it from our angle, Anya. We are dealing with a crime scene. Two foreigners coming into our jurisdiction. One who is, forgive me, less than culturally perceptive, with a television program investigating a series of crimes we haven't made much headway on yet. Imagine how bad we would look if television researchers, albeit one with archaeology accreditation, were able to get to the bottom of it and we were not. Such disgrace would be intolerable for us, I'm afraid.
So you're here to babysit us?
If you wish to view it that way. But I would sincerely like to assist you in any way that I might. I've been intrigued with the idea of a giant tiger roaming our city since the first body was found. But my requests for additional manpower to track it have gone unanswered.
Why?
Hyderabad is in the midst of great economic growth. Several key industries for the city have the potential to make this part of India among the country's richest.
You'd think the powers that be would want any threat to its growth to be taken care of at once.
We must tread lightly. The city leaders are publicly clamoring for action, but behind the scenes, they don't want anything to disrupt progress. The development where these attacks have occurred belongs to some of the city's wealthiest investors, so it's a double-edged sword. The residents obviously want the tiger or creature found and killed, but they don't want a stigma attached to their homes losing their cachet.
Bizarre. They've potentially got a man-eating tiger looking for its next meal, and they're worried about what their friends will say.
I am not even close to being that wealthy, so perhaps my perspective is somewhat different.
More like realistic.
You will have to proceed with discretion. There are people who already think that the city leaders have been too vocal about finding the tiger. For them, it would be better if the tiger was lured away to some other section of the city. If it found a poorer place to settle down and hunt, they'd be quite happy.
Don't tell me someone actually suggested that.
As I said, my perspective is not nearly the same as those with money.
I guess the sooner we figure it out, then the better it will be for everyone involved.
Absolutely. Now, let me get you settled at your hotel. I'm certain your cameraman would like to have a shower and a fresh change of clothes.
He would. Thank you very much.
What happens next?
There's a function tonight to welcome you and Frank to our city. I don't suppose you have an evening gown with you?
An evening gown? I'm here to find a tiger, not dance.
This will be something of a challenge, but I think we'll manage.
The hotel was gorgeous. Frank had a room on another floor. As Anya walked into the bedroom from the steaming hot shower she'd just enjoyed, she couldn't help but appreciate the thick shag carpet. She curled up on the bed and gave serious thought to falling right to sleep. The flight had been long and she was exhausted. Thank goodness Pradesh showed up. He was a handsome man, and she hadn't seen a wedding ring on his finger. Although maybe that was because he didn't wear one while he worked. Not that she was here to flirt. She had a job to do. And finding the killer was the only important thing to her right now. Except Pradesh was picking them up in an hour for the party in their honor. Nothing worse than having to put on a show for people. All she wanted to do was get out to the site of the murders. Apparently, that would have to wait. Her more immediate problem was what she was going to wear. Pradesh had been correct. She hadn't brought a cocktail dress with her. When Anya had booked her flight, the only thing she thought she'd need were a good pair of boots and her usual gear. Mingling with high society hadn't been on the agenda. Anya laid out her best shirt and pants.
There's no way this outfit is going to pass muster with Hyderabad's elite. I wonder what time the stores downstairs close. I have the credit card from the show, and I can expense a new dress, but...
She walked to the door and peered through the peephole. One of the bellhops stood outside. Anya wrapped the robe a little tighter around herself and opened the door a crack.
Yes?
Excuse me for disturbing you, Miss Creed. This was just delivered for you.
Thank you.
Anya laid the bag on the bed. A small card was tied to the hanger.
I hope you don't mind my taking the liberty of getting this for you. Dhanraj.
Who the hell is Dhanraj?
The dress inside was gorgeous. A spaghetti strap number in black with a line of understated jewels that wound down the dress. Anya recognized it immediately as one of Paris designer Nicolai Depew's latest designs. It must have cost a fortune. She slipped the bathrobe off and stepped into the dress. It fit her like a glove, and she couldn't help but appreciate how good she looked in the mirror on the bathroom door. How well the dress fit her curves.
I don't suppose my boots are going to look good with this.
But then Anya noticed that bulge at the bottom of the garment bag. A pair of simple black leather heels. She stepped into them and instantly felt like $1 million. And that made her very uncomfortable. She didn't even know who'd sent this outfit. She looked down at her khakis on the bed and was sorely tempted to put her own clothes on instead.
Hello?
Anya, it's Frank.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah. Some dude showed up at my door with a penguin suit. A freaking tuxedo. Can you believe it?
Actually, yes. How does it fit?
It fits me perfectly. I have no idea who sent it, though. And I have even less of an idea how he knew my suit size.
Let's meet downstairs.
Anya rode the elevator down to the lobby. The first person she saw was Pradesh, standing near the concierge station. He wore what Anya recognized as a sleek Pathani suit. Pradesh's eyes lit up when he saw Anya.
Forgive me for being blunt. You look incredibly beautiful.
blunt is not necessarily a bad thing. Thank you for the compliment.
Then Frank arrived in the lobby. The tuxedo did indeed look good on him, but he didn't have nearly the confidence to pull the look off. She could tell he felt uneasy.
Very handsome.
You know, very awkward. I feel like everyone is staring at me. I don't like it. You look amazing.
Thank you. You'll be fine. Just try to relax. So, now what?
I'll drive you to the party. It's being held downtown at the offices of Dunraj Incorporated.
Did you say Dunraj?
Yes. He's one of the most influential residents of Hyderabad. He's got an estimated wealth at about $1 billion US.
Wow.
Yes, his money generally elicits that reaction from people, particularly the group Dunraj surrounds himself with. But there you go.
Money's not everything. He didn't need to buy me this dress. I have clothes that would have been fine. Well, almost fine.
So, is that where that came from? I wondered, but I thought it would be rude to ask. You both do look perfectly suited for the night ahead, however, so I guess Dunraj's money was put to good use, at least in this case.
Suited for the night ahead? And what exactly will this night entail?
Oh, I imagine it will involve meeting an awful lot of people who have seen your show on television and who will wish to ask you all sorts of boring questions about your work and what you do. They'll flatter you, no doubt, and each of them will want something. This followed by the usual dull prattling that occurs at these tiresome things.
Really?
I've been to one or two of these before. Such is the life of an inspector. I do my best to bear it, but there are times I find myself marveling at my own endurance.
Pradesh led them outside to the Mercedes. Anya noticed it had been washed and waxed since their earlier trip from the airport. She again sat up front with Pradesh while Frank maneuvered himself into the back seat.
Frank, let it go. You look good. Now just pretend like you know you look good and you'll be fine.
The last time I wore one of these, it was to my junior prom, and I hated it then. So much so, I refused to wear one to my senior prom.
What did you wear to that?
Shorts, plus a bright red blazer. I looked wild.
Your date must have loved that.
Yeah. We didn't stay together for very long.
I wish I could say I'm shocked. But shorts and a bright red blazer don't exactly fit the picture of what most girls want their dates to wear to the prom.
But what about what I wanted to wear?
From what I understand about American girls and their proms, what you wanted was never really up for discussion.
He's right. It's all about the ladies.
It always is.
Frank lapsed into silence, and Anya watched as the city passed outside of the window. The sun was already below the horizon, and Anya marveled at the lights of the city.
Hyderabad seems very modern.
We have a rich history, but we also firmly embrace the future. People like Dunraj are at the forefront of this move forward. With a number of developments underway in the city limits, there is hope that we will overtake several other cities and become the economic hub of India. That's the plan, anyway. We'll see if it becomes reality or not.
And what sort of industries are you attracting?
Green power companies, technology, and we even have several movie studios that are setting up shop here. The film industry in India, as you know, is tremendously popular, and Hyderabad's climate is well suited to movies and TV.
Does Dunraj have his hand in everything that goes on in the city?
Yes, somewhat. He prefers not to be viewed as the power player he is. He likes to remain in the background. His family is very old, with quite a history. He himself is something of a maverick, which he rather enjoys. But he's the last of his family line, so sometimes he can get a bit interesting.
I don't understand.
You will.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting him, if only to thank him for his impeccable taste.
I think perhaps he is looking forward to meeting you even more.
He must be. That dress makes Anya look like a knockout.
Frank, do me a favor, will you?
Sure thing.
Don't talk like that tonight, all right? This is an important function, judging by what Pradesh is telling us. And if things go well, we'll be able to work here without hassle. But if things don't go well, then we'll face all sorts of complications, which I'm not a big fan of. So remember that every time you speak tonight. What you say will have a direct impact on your future. Trust me.
Okay, Anya, I get it.
You see that building?
You mean the tower with the lights?
That is Dunraj's corporate headquarters. From there he oversees his rather extensive empire of business interests.
Wow. You weren't joking about his personal wealth, huh?
At the time, it was the most expensive building construction project in all of Hyderabad. Something along the lines of what you might see in Dubai, I imagine. But Dunraj was determined to see it built and ended up sinking massive amounts of his own money in to fund it, ensuring that he finished by the deadline he'd set.
It's quite a nice design. Is this Dunraj guy married?
He is Hyderabad's most eligible bachelor. No woman in the city has attracted him enough to settle down yet, although they all try. My, they do try. And since he is, as I said, the last of his family, I believe the pressure is on him to settle down and produce an heir.
Interesting.
Pradesh stopped the Mercedes before the guard shack. He flashed his credentials and the car was waved through. Carefully manicured orange trees framed the road.
Does he make his own orange juice, too?
There is very little that Dunraj is not able to do. I have no doubt if he thought orange juice was worth his time, he would capture the majority market share in the city. And from there, the rest of the country.
Are you all right back there?
Yep.
We're here.
All right, Penguin Boy, let's see how smooth you can be when the stakes are high.
They went up to the penthouse office suite, where an elegant soiree was already in full swing. To Anya's relief, the other guest's attire was predominantly Western, and she wasn't the only one wearing a slinky black dress and heels. But the once-overs and glares started almost immediately.
Good grief.
All she wanted to do was get out to the development and see the crime scenes. Now she had to play nice, or at the very least, convince the gold diggers that she wasn't here to hook Dunraj.
And here I thought we'd be early.
You can almost smell the money in this room. It's tangible, for crying out loud.
Pradesh seemed remarkably at ease with the environment. He might not have come from money, but he wasn't out of his depth here either. A waiter came by carrying a silver tray with glasses of champagne. Pradesh took two, giving one to Anya. Anya sipped the bubbly. It must have cost roughly $1,000 a bottle, judging by its flavor. Frank grabbed one for himself, and Anya was relieved when he didn't knock the tray over. A DJ was set up in one corner of the cavernous reception area. A few lights were flashing in time to the lounge music, but the volume wasn't so high that Anya had to raise her voice to be heard. A few guests closer to the DJ swayed back and forth to the beat. Others were helping themselves to small plates of appetizers set out on a grand wooden conference table. There was food from a number of cultures. Fresh sashimi, Indian specialties, a carving station, and much more. Without a doubt, this party had cost a fortune. Then Anya spotted him. She'd had no idea what Dunraj looked like before they'd arrived, but as soon as she laid eyes on the man, working the room as effortlessly as a politician, she knew it had to be him. Dunraj looked to be about 48 years old. His hair was a little long, swept back in frosted waves off his face. His tanned skin was smooth, and judging by the cut of his tuxedo, he must work out quite a bit. But he wasn't flexing his guns to impress anyone. His understated manner said enough. Dunraj seemed to be working his way across the room. With each person he met, he would either shake their hand or give them a peck on the cheek. Anya could sense the waves of charisma rolling off him.
No wonder the women here are going bonkers. He's an incredible specimen.
He's coming to see you. Try not to gawk.
I don't gawk. Ever.
That's what they all say, Anya. You haven't yet met the man. I'd reserve judgment.
Anya sipped her champagne and watched Dunraj continue his arc toward where they stood. If he was trying to get to Anya, she would never have guessed it. Dunraj took his time. He never appeared hurried or impatient. It was as if he knew the world would only be too happy to wait for him. But eventually, he seemed to materialize out of the crowd directly in front of her. His smile was the first thing she noticed. It gleamed.
You must be Anya.
I am. You must be Dunraj.
I hope you'll forgive me for throwing this welcome party for you and your colleague here. You must be Frank. Very glad to meet you.
Hi.
Anya, I understand you've come to our wonderful city to investigate the horrible deaths that we seem to be plagued with.
Yes, that's the purpose of our visit.
I hope you have time for pleasure as well. We have some incredible tourist attractions here. Gardens created by kings, fabulous restaurants. Perhaps you'd like to see them first, putting aside this unfortunate business while you acclimate. I'm told I'm an excellent tour guide.
I don't doubt that for a moment. And I have no doubt Hyderabad is a wonderful place. I've been impressed so far with what we've seen, and the police are obviously very efficient.
Indeed they are. And Pradesh is perhaps the finest of them all.
You are too kind, sir.
Nonsense. You've always proven to be an excellent civil servant. Your adherence to duty and honor is something to be greatly admired. So, Anya, are you comfortable at the hotel?
The hotel? It's fine. Nothing wrong with it that I could see.
You know, we have much nicer hotels elsewhere in the city. I could make some phone calls if the hotel isn't quite to your liking. Get you and your traveling companion here into a nice suite, perhaps. It's no trouble whatsoever.
The hotel is fine. I'm used to far less comfort when I travel.
Ah, I'm sure. Ah, what a fascinating job you have. I've seen all of your shows many times over, and you've always impressed me with your candor and knowledge of subjects that most of us know nothing about. You are able to work informative background information into the segments without talking down to your audience. You have a talent, Anya. You really do.
Thank you very much for saying so. Which episode was your favorite?
Pardon?
I wondered which episode you liked best.
The one where you were in Scotland chasing down reports of the Loch Ness Monster. I really need to visit there in the autumn and experience the pleasure of drinking a beer in a pub with the peat smoke and so forth, like you did in that final segment. You were able to show that Scotland has a charm all its own, even without the Loch Ness Monster. I do hope you'll forgive me, but unfortunately I need to cut our time short. I've got some other guests to attend to. Please enjoy my hospitality. I will return shortly and we can talk some more then, all right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That would be great. I'd like that.
Anya blinked, and then Dunraj was gone. The crowd had swallowed him up.
Are you okay?
Me? Yeah, of course I'm fine. Why would you ask me that?
Because you look a little pale. Like maybe your first encounter there with Captain Amazing might have been more than you bargained for.
Nothing to worry about, Frank. I'm just tired from the flight.
We should get something to eat.
Good idea.
As they walked to the nearest table, Anya felt eyes on them. More women sizing her up, most likely. Now that Dunraj had connected with her, they were all checking her out, trying to determine if she was a rival for Dunraj's attention.
I told you he was something else, didn't I? You were mesmerized and don't even realize it. You still are.
He is something else, I'll give you that. But is he like that with everyone?
Do you see anyone here who isn't equally enamored of him? The women want to be with him. The men want to be like him. Dunraj is the epitome of what many in Hyderabad aspire to become.
What's his story?
Comes from a well-respected family, as I've said, but Dunraj was never content to rely on their reputation. He was schooled abroad in Zurich and then Oxford. He speaks a number of languages, including Mandarin, Farsi, and German, and those skills have enabled him to reach beyond India's borders to attract both international investment and cooperation. A lot of people say he is the unofficial mayor of Hyderabad.
And how does the mayor feel about that?
I assume she's quite happy knowing that Dunraj will pour a lot of money into her next campaign. Dunraj enjoys a wonderful relationship with the mayor, and she's always ready to approve his next construction project. He has no real political aspirations. He accomplishes all his public service work through his construction projects. It's very much a symbiotic relationship.
Dunraj was on the far side of the room when he picked up a microphone from the DJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I could please have your attention. I'm so pleased you were all able to accept my invitation to attend tonight's event. I realize this was last minute. It humbles me to have such wonderful friends and colleagues as yourselves. Truly, thank you so much. My purpose in throwing tonight's party was to welcome a visitor to our great city. An American who has always impressed me with her steadfast resolve, intellect, and pursuit of truth. It is my pleasure to introduce you all to Miss Anya Creed, host of Chasing History's Monsters.
Thank you.
I hope you will all take a moment to introduce yourselves to Anya and her colleague, Frank. Tell them about our city and the role it plays in India's 21st century expansion and growth. And please make sure they both understand that Hyderabad is a glowing example of India's prosperity and the new hub of our nation's incredible future. Thank you, and enjoy.
Dhanraj handed the microphone back to the DJ and melted back into the crowd of party guests. Anya was about to go over to him, but when she looked around the room for him, the Indian billionaire had vanished.
Where'd he go?
Where'd who go?
Dhanraj.
Anya pushed her way through the throng, straining to see above the mass of heads. But Dhanraj had indeed vanished. One moment, he'd been in his reception area, and the next he was gone. Pradesh had also disappeared.
All right, Frank. Let's get going. Come on, now.
Now? But I'm starting to enjoy myself. There are an awful lot of very nice young women here.
Which is exactly why I want to get the hell out of here before your libido turns this welcome party into an orgy.
Would that be so terrible?
Anya grabbed him by the arm and pulled him out of the crowd, and they made their way back to the elevator.
We going to the hotel?
I'd like to, yes. I'm exhausted. I need serious sleep if we're going to start first thing tomorrow morning.
Can we call a taxi? I don't see Pradesh anywhere.
Me neither. And I don't like it when our host and our minder both disappear within seconds of each other. That strikes me as sort of weird.
You're not going to go all conspiracy theory on me now, are you?
Frank pushed the elevator call button, and seconds later, the doors slid back. Anya and Frank stepped inside. The car began its descent.
My father had a real thing for Indian women. I remember one time when we were Christmas shopping, and there was this woman in the music store. My father was totally captivated. I get it now.
Well, good. Now you two can compare notes when you get home. Nice.
Nah, he died about 10 years back. We were just getting to be really good friends when he had a heart attack.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It just bums me out sometimes when I think about him being gone. We could have had some fun times together.
If it helps, I'm sure he'd be very proud of what you've accomplished in your life. Your professional life, I mean. That stunt on the airplane... Well, probably not so much.
Back in the lobby, they headed for the main desk. Anya was about to beckon the security guard to call them a taxi when Frank stopped her.
Hey, there's Pradesh.
I was wondering when you'd make your escape.
Where'd you disappear to?
Why, down here, of course. Once Dhanraj made his introduction of you and Frank, I decided it might be a good idea to have the car waiting. Neither of you strike me as being fond of mobs of ardent admirers. Well, perhaps Frank.
You could have told us.
Now, where would the fun be in that? I imagined you making a grand exit, throwing people aside while Frank led the way to the elevator. Was I close?
Not even remotely. Aside from us taking the elevator down here again.
Ah, well, my powers of perception aren't in the psychic realm. I apologize if I caused you any distress.
No distress. We were going to grab a taxi back to the hotel.
No need. I have the Mercedes waiting.
The Hyderabad night was balmy, but with enough of a breeze to make it pleasant. Pradesh kept the windows down, and as they drove away from Dhanraj's office park, Anya caught the scent of the trees on the breeze and suddenly felt very tired. The trip over had been a long one.
How about a bite to eat?
Oh, I'm starving. I didn't see very much to eat at the party.
That's because you were too busy concentrating on the women. There was an entire conference table laid out with food.
Frank, I rather doubt any of those women would be as appealing as you think they are.
Why? They seemed, ready, willing, and able to me.
No doubt they are all that.
But?
Well, it's just they are also all... gold diggers. Isn't that what you call them?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Dhanraj enjoys knowing they would fight to the death if he asked them to. And they would. I have broken up one or two fights at his parties when some of the women got territorial. They don't take kindly to strangers coming into their feeding grounds, as it were.
I'm glad we got out of there when we did.
I know you're tired.
I'm not.
I can see it on your face. But I know a nice little place where the food is excellent. It would be an honor to take you both there. We could relax and talk.
Any chance I could get changed first?
What about you? Would you prefer to change?
I suppose it couldn't hurt to get into some more comfortable clothes. These heels are killing me. I miss my boots.
Very well. We can swing by your hotel and go from there.
They got back within 10 minutes, thanks to the way Pradesh maneuvered through the traffic. He leaned against the Mercedes in the roundabout outside the hotel's entrance.
I'll be here.
Anya was dressed and back down in 5 minutes. Frank showed up 2 minutes later, looking significantly more relaxed than he had been earlier. He wore jeans and a loose button-down shirt. Pradesh had also changed out of his suit.
Did you strip right out here in public?
I carry a change of clothes at all times. It enables me to react to all situations.
Good plan. So, where are we going?
A family restaurant. I don't know where you may have traveled before, Anya, but the smallest, least known restaurants are sometimes the best. It's no different here in Hyderabad. If you'll trust me to guide you, I think you will agree the meal is something spectacular.
Sounds good to me.
Is that all right, Frank?
Sure, I'm starving.
You like spicy food?
Back home, I love the Indian food at a small place near my apartment. So if it's anything like that, I'm all in.
Probably not, but we'll see.
Once inside the restaurant, they were hit by a waft of scents that made Anya's mouth water.
Oh my God, it smells incredible in here.
Ajay?
Pradesh smiled as a rotund woman rushed up, wiping her hands on her apron. She clutched him up in a giant hug.
Oh, my boy!
Pradesh gave her a kiss and then turned to Anya and Frank.
I'd like you to meet my mother, Peta. Mother, these are my new friends, Anya and Frank, from America.
Mother? You pulled a fast one on us.
Well, this is a restaurant, but yes, I did.
Come? The house specialties?
If you wouldn't mind.
Mind? Why would I mind? It is not every night I get to cook for my only son and his friends. Ajay is the pride of my home, a distinguished police officer. I couldn't be happier that he's brought you all here to my humble little restaurant.
Pradesh smoothly dropped onto a cushion at a low table as Anya and Frank followed his lead and sat on cushions opposite him.
My father died a few years ago from a heart condition. I try to come by at least once a week when work doesn't keep me away. It's important that we still have each other.
You're a good son.
So, what are we having?
Hyderabad is known for its regional cuisine. We call it Andhra here, and it features a lot of spicy chilies, rice, lentils, some seafood and chicken dishes. My mother's specialty is preparing pickles.
Pickles?
I think you'll like them, Frank. My mother makes an incredible avakaya. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's a pickle made from green mango. She also makes one from the leaves of the gongura plant. When you taste them with the other dishes, I think you'll agree this is a far better meal than what Dhanraj would have served, even with all of his money behind him.
I don't doubt it for one moment. I can't tell you how many incredible meals I've been fortunate enough to have when I've been abroad in the past.
Haven't you always been abroad?
Keep it up and I'll separate your head from your shoulders.
Yeah, right. How are you gonna do that?
Don't ask, or you might just find out.
If the food gets too spicy, please take some of the curd that comes with the meal. It helps to neutralize the heat and will calm your stomach.
Is this going to be very spicy?
Oh, yes. My mother is an expert at balancing heat, however, so while you may find one dish almost unbearable, she will complement it with another milder one. She is a marvel in the kitchen.
I'm surprised she doesn't have a bigger place.
She used to work at a fancy hotel, but she got tired of the class of people there. She's never been as happy now that she's working for herself.
It was one of the best meals Anya had had in a very long time. When they were done eating, Peta closed the restaurant and served them all a strong drink she said was an old family recipe. Anya wasn't sure if it was alcoholic or not, but it was soothing and went down extremely easy. Peta sat with them as they relaxed, helping herself to some of the drink. Anya toasted her.
That was amazing. I can't thank you enough for your hospitality.
Oh, I second that. You are an incredible chef.
Thank you. I learned to cook when I was older. I forced myself to learn how to make the best meals for Pradesh. He studied so hard in school.
It was a huge help when I was so exhausted from studying.
And now he is a famous policeman, keeping our city safe and free from corruption.
Anya and Frank are here to investigate the deaths of those people and their development.
A terrible thing. To imagine a creature attacking in such a way, it's horrifying.
What do you think the creature is? A rogue tiger, perhaps?
In all my years, I've never heard of a tiger stalking people in a city this big. But I am just a cook.
But the housing development, if I'm correct, is on the outskirts. Perhaps it's pushing into the domain of a tiger?
It's possible, I suppose. But we've found no tracks at the crime scenes. And a tiger large enough to take down a full-grown man would leave behind some sign.
Is the area well paved?
In some places, yes. But the area where the bodies were found was moist from the landscaping irrigation systems. And we found hardly any trace of anything in the mud. Our best forensics people were unable to locate any hair or DNA that would confirm it was a tiger.
Maybe it's the ghost of a tiger.
Ghosts, Frank.
Just trying to contribute a little something to the conversation.
I honestly wish I had more information to share with you. As you know, it's an ongoing police investigation. All I can say is we are stumped.
Have you increased patrols in the area?
We have two teams down there patrolling 24 hours a day. They stay in constant radio contact, but something tells me if the killer is determined, not even the presence of the police will dissuade it. Or him.
Oh, just promise me you'll be careful out there. I can't even bear to think about losing you too.
I'm not going anywhere, Mother. I promise.
Make sure he doesn't, would you?
All right.
I see things, Anya. Even things people wish to hide. I see much about you that others do not. I know what you are capable of.
Anya had no reply for that. But fortunately, Pradesh nudged his mother toward the kitchen.
Yes, yes, we'll bring the dishes in.
I am just saying.
But Pradesh had already pushed her through the doors. When he came back, he was grinning sheepishly.
I apologize for that. My mother sometimes gets a bit strange when she has that drink. She's claimed for years to be psychic. I don't think there's anything to it, of course, but she insists. There's no real harm in it, I suppose.
She might be right. You never know.
I try not to encourage it in her. I've seen what the promise of supernatural possibilities can do to people. It gets them so fixated on the possibility of escaping their place in life that they end up ignoring what they have to deal with right in front of them. It becomes a never-ending cycle of disappointment. And don't worry, I'm good at taking care of myself.
You know mothers. She just wants to make sure her son is well looked after. You can't blame her for loving you.
You sound like you speak from experience.
I never knew my parents. I was orphaned at a very early age. You're extremely lucky to know yours.
Yes, I am. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Anya glanced down and saw her cameraman had fallen back against his pillows with his mouth ajar.
Good grief.
It seems he appreciates my mother's cooking. She'll be pleased.
Not sure if it's that, the trip over, or that drink your mom served us. Or maybe it's all three. A potent combination.
Help me with the dishes and I'll drive you both back to the hotel. A good night's sleep will be the best thing for all of us. We can take a drive out tomorrow and start your investigation. I'm really interested to see what you come up with.
So am I.
You've done this type of thing before? With other so-called monsters?
Most times when people think there are monsters, it turns out there's a perfectly reasonable explanation. But once or twice...
Yes, well, as I said, a good night's sleep and we'll get started.
Pradesh scooped up some of the dishes and carried them into the kitchen. Anya did the same, and after several trips, they'd cleaned up the dining area. Pradesh helped Frank up, and between them both, they managed to get him back into the car.
Will your mom be okay?
She lives above the restaurant. She'll be fine. The neighbors all keep an eye on her. They love having her here. I think she's doing some catering now as well. Smaller weddings, mostly. She gives them a nice discount.
At the hotel, Pradesh waited until Anya had Frank out of the car.
How about 8 o'clock tomorrow? Will that be all right? Or do you need more time?
8 o'clock. That'll be fine.
Good night, then.
See ya.
After guiding Frank through the lobby, Anya propped him against the wall of the elevator and pushed the button for his floor.
Are we all clear?
What the hell, Frank? You were sound asleep a minute ago.
Oh, pretty good, huh?
I thought you were drunk.
Listen, Anya, if there's one thing I'm good at, it's holding my booze. It takes a lot more than a drink to knock me on my ass. Though it was delicious, I don't mind telling you.
So what's up? Why the theatrics?
I figured it might let Pradesh open up. Maybe he'd reveal something about the case he didn't feel comfortable saying in front of me.
Well, he didn't.
Yeah, I know. Can't blame a guy for trying, though.
Pradesh said he'd meet us here at 8. That leaves plenty of time to get some solid sleep.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing. It's just I didn't fly halfway around the world to get a good night's sleep. I could do that any time back home. I came here for some good story action.
Meaning what, exactly?
It's 11 o'clock. What say you to a drive to the development now? You know, see for yourself what's going on out there, firsthand.
It's pitch dark. We won't be able to see anything. We need flashlights and gear.
All of which I've got with me.
We'd have to rent a car.
But they have taxis downstairs. We can take one to the car rental agency. At this time of night, it shouldn't take us more than 20 minutes to reach the site.
I don't know. I feel bad about going behind Pradesh's back like this.
You here to make friends or to uncover the truth, Anya? If we get stopped by the cops, we can always tell them you couldn't sleep because of jet lag or...
Oh, sure. Blame it on me.
You're the pretty one. They might zap me off to some sort of stinkhole jail where you never hear from me again. Listen, I'm going to get changed. Meet me downstairs in the lobby in 20 minutes. I really think we should check it out before we get all official tomorrow with Pradesh.
I'll think about it.
Awesome.
I didn't say I'm getting too old for this craziness. Do you even know where we're going?
I may never have been to Hyderabad before, but most cities are laid out logically.
Ever been to Boston? Just... try not to get us lost, okay? It would be embarrassing if we had to call Pradesh for help.
Like I said, we didn't come here to make friends. We've got a story to chase down.
Friends are one of the most important things in the world. And I, for one, do not want to make Pradesh feel like we were taking advantage of him. Or his mother.
So tell him you couldn't sleep and you dragged me out of bed to come to this place. He'll believe you. I think he likes you.
What? And just how did you arrive at that particular theory?
How he looks at you, the way he smiles. It's obvious if you're paying attention.
Frank, the only things you pay attention to are breasts.
Well, I had time tonight when I was admiring the babes at the party. They seemed very attentive.
Those women were there for one thing tonight. Dhanraj.
Frank wheeled off the highway after another 10 minutes.
Okay, so this is where it'll probably be tougher to navigate. Google was a little sketchy on the details about this place.
Frank pointed at a sign.
Does that say road closed?
Frank, that's written in Hindi. I have no idea what it says. Hindi is not among my languages. How about you?
No. Okay, we'll have to wing it.
Are you still thinking this was such a good idea?
Well, of course. We're on the outskirts of the city. All we have to do is look for a modern residential dwelling. That shouldn't be too hard to find. Now, once I got off the highway, the map said to take a left and drive for a mile.
I could be back in my hotel room, sound asleep. I could be getting the rest I need to make sure this assignment is handled properly and professionally. Instead, I'm driving around a foreign city with a guy who has no idea where he's going. Spectacular ending to a weird night.
Hey, it's not actually the city right here. These are the outskirts, so get it right. But I know exactly where I'm going, Anya. I just like having you think I don't.
Really?
Kinda.
Just shut up and find the place already, would you?
For the next 15 minutes, Frank maneuvered his way down back roads. It was incredibly dark. Anya spotted smaller homes with what looked like fenced-in areas for animals. Tall, spindly trees broke up the majority of the flat landscape. Wadis and canals dotted the rural area.
Wouldn't be too difficult to imagine a rogue tiger roaming around here looking for something to eat.
I thought tigers stuck more to the countryside.
We're pretty country here, Frank.
I guess.
They drove for several more minutes, the tires of the car bouncing over small potholes in the asphalt and dirt. And then Anya saw the glow of lights in the distance.
There. You think maybe that's it?
I guess it would have to be. Are those mountains behind the development?
Tough to see exactly. But the lights cast a glow out in that direction. We probably won't know until the sun comes up tomorrow morning.
You mean later today?
What?
Take a look at the dashboard clock. Good morning. Time for that continental breakfast buffet downstairs.
All right, whatever. We've got bigger things to deal with right now.
Like big, ferocious tigers. Or strange, mysterious beasts.
More like those two roving police patrols Pradesh mentioned while you were pretending to be asleep, remember? Let's find a place to park the car and go on foot. That probably means sneaking through drainage ditches and whatnot.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't places like that be exactly where a hungry tiger would creep while it's looking for meaty things to eat?
Absolutely.
Really?
Well, we're here now and I'm wide awake, so it'd be a waste not to use this chance to get a closer look.